Luke chapter number 22 in the Word of God. In just a moment, we're going to stand for the reading of God's Word. And before we jump into this tonight, I do ask, just always on these services, we try to make them a little bit more serious. And I just ask for all the parents in here this evening that have kids sitting with them, that this is a time truly that we take and walk them through exactly what is happening and what is taking place. And as we find Luke 22, I do also want to say this. Now, that tonight, I do believe, Mrs. Query, is this you and Nate's last night here tonight? Okay, so you'll be here Wednesday, but this is
sure do miss Brother Earl, and they have prayed about, and the Lord is moving them down to the Atlanta, Georgia area, and just to be more with family, and they prayed about it for a good long time, and have made preparations, bought a house there, their house is sold here, and the Lord just really worked it out in a great way, and we love this family, and I apologize, I said you got this information before. Do you remember how long you've taught here at the church, how long you've been members here? 45 and a half years. Who's counting, right? 45 and a half years. They've been here at Cross Point, previously Eagledale. This is a family that truly has laid a foundation for so many of us that have come up behind them and raising our kids in this place. And we just want to tell you, we love you and appreciate you. And if you don't get a chance tonight to say goodbye, be sure to do so this coming Wednesday as they'll be here with us and heading south. She said it has nothing to do with the weather. It's all about just praying the Lord's will for their life. And that's it now. That's all. That's the only members that are allowed to leave this year. Everybody else, Indianapolis is a great place. So no more moving. That's it. Now, I know we got realtors in here, but you help all everybody else, but not the people in this room, okay? Luke chapter number 22, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word tonight? Luke chapter and number 22, and this evening we are simply going to be concentrating on just Communion Sunday. And tonight we're going to be concentrating on the Lord's Supper this evening. And I'd like to read this passage here found in Luke chapter number 22. Would you look with me at verse number 14? And even for our teenagers, college students, and young kids in here tonight, I want you to listen very carefully and watch what the Bible says here in Luke 22 and verse number 14. The Bible says this: "And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him," talking about Jesus. "And he said unto them, with desire, I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. And I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." This evening, I just want us to simply look at the Lord's Supper tonight. I want us to take into account what exactly took place. And then also, as the Apostle Paul would come in and begin to fix what some were beginning to take out of context. And then here in just in a couple of moments, what we're going to do is we're going to partake in the Lord's Supper. Let's take a moment just right now. And I'm going to ask Brother Mike, it looks like my microphone's not working. Brother Crampy, do you mind lifting up your voice and going to the Lord?
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It's amazing to think that how many centuries ago our Jesus, our Savior, gave his life. And what Jesus did on Calvary for you and I can never be repaid. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. I believe often in our walk, and it's especially as Americans living in the blessed nation that we live in, living in the day and age which you and I live in, there are those moments as our walk with God continues that we forget exactly what Christ did on the cross for you and for me. We forget how great our salvation is. A simple verse like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You and I forget just how powerful that verse is. As we saw in this morning's service, oftentimes as you and I go through the motions of life, we forget those moments of why we're here, why we do what we do, why we live the blessed life that we live, a life of joy and peace and happiness, a life that truly is not lived in fear, knowing where you and I are going to spend eternity, but truly a life that is built around our Savior. In the New Testament, we have the Apostle Paul writing, and he begins to remind you and I exactly why we do what we do. I'm often asked when somebody is going to join the church, especially someone who has a background of being a the ordinances that has been given to the church, the local church, to carry out, one of those being communion, the Lord's Supper. I'm often asked, how often do we take it? It is of my belief that I truly believe that there are many who will argue, well, it ought to be done on a Tuesday and ought to be done once a year. And there are those who will argue over closed and closed communion, and those that truly just, for a lot of reasons, will begin to really run with this subject. And I often tell folks, we don't schedule it. We don't schedule it a year ahead of time or 2 years ahead of time. Truly what I begin to do is begin to pray, God, give us a special moment. I don't want communion to be something that we walk in and like drinking out of a water fountain. We come in, oh yeah, we've done this, we do it, we take it, we get out, and we head out, and we had a good night. I truly, in each and every time we come to this night, I pray that God, it'll be special, that it'll be all about our Savior, that it won't be a mocking or joking matter or something that we take for granted or get used to like brushing our teeth, but no, it's not religion, but it's a time that we set aside for a moment. For a moment, and we concentrate on our Savior. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 begins to write to this church, and there comes this church really a rebuke. This rebuke says something like this: now in this I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together, watch now, not for the better, but for the worse. Paul says, I'm not coming this evening to praise you, but I'm going to tell you, church, you're doing something wrong. He says, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. And I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that which are approved may be manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, that this is to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before his own supper, and one is hungry, and another one is drunken. What? Listen to what Paul says. My goodness, church, have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye that the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? Paul says, I praise you not. We come to the first passage of the scripture, really this first part. Paul begins to break down, and a big way begins to say, I'm not going to praise you, church. I have heard, and I believe what I am hearing about you. The local church is arguing and fighting. There's divisions among you. There's some who are saying this and others who say this. There are those who are putting their standards above others and others who are putting their preferences above others. And even when it comes to the Lord's Supper, there are those that are coming and they're participating in gluttony, and there's those that are participating in not even sharing with those who are less fortunate, those who are saying, look, I brought this in, it's mine, and you don't get to partake, you don't get to have this. And they took something that Christ laid out that was so beautiful, and they began to misuse and abuse what God had set up. There were even those that were coming, and It made just a total, to be honest with you, mockery out of what God had made serious. God is not pleased with the attitudes of this local church that Paul was writing to. Nor is God pleased with the attitudes of many churches today or many church members that would treat the local church as if it is theirs. Treat the local church as if it's only my way to worship. It's only my standard. It's my preference. It's what I want. And those wants, those little mountains, those molehills, they begin to make big. They begin to fight and argue amongst each other. And that division comes into the church. And I'm going to put it this way. I'm going to say it tonight. Listen, local church. Listen, family across the way. God is not pleased with this. God forbid that we ever get into a motion where we're just as the other Pharisees, adding to the Word of God, adding to what God is giving us, adding to what the Holy Spirit has said, laid out in the work and the direction of our life, and we become that, or we think we are that, or we think it's our way, and it's got to be the way that we want it. And if not, we're just going to go to another church. We're just going to do this. We're going to be upset. We're going to pull others on our side. Friend, may I put it this way? This place is not about worshiping me, and it's not worshiping you. It's about worshiping our Abba Father. It's about worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, our Savior. May we never come to a place where we are just as guilty. Jesus said in Matthew 23 and verse number 27, "Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." Verse number 23 of 1 Corinthians, it says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Paul in verse number 23 uses the word "for I." The presence of this emphatic pronoun leads that Paul had received personal revelation from the Lord on this very matter that he's taking before the local church that they had taken out of context. And Scripture suggests clearly several times that Paul had revelations that were directly at him and toward him and listed in Acts chapter 18 and verse number 9 and 10 and Acts chapter 22 and verse number 18 and 23 and verse number 11 and also Galatians in chapter number 1, it's also listed there. Paul, that means this, he knew what he was talking about. He's going to come in, he's going to set the local church straight. I have heard, and am I going to praise you? I'm not going to praise you, church. I'm going to give you a little bit of a rebuke. And tonight we're going to set the record straight. You see, Paul gives this rebuke, but secondly, he also gives this remembrance. He says this, he says, "For I've received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus," in the passage of Scripture, Luke 22, that we just read, "the Lord Jesus, the same night when he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do," watch now, "in remembrance of me." What is it that we are remembering about our Savior? What is it that we're stopping even tonight in this moment and going to remember about God? What is it, young children, listen, what is it, married adults, what is it that you and I are remembering? What are we calling to our mind to this moment? Well, this moment is this: Jesus Christ's body was going to be broken on the cross. Mark recorded it like this: "And when they had mocked him and took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him, they compelled one Simon of Cyrene, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto a place, Golgotha, which is, being interpreted, the place of the skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, and he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, that every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of the accusation was written over, 'The King of the Jews.' And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand, the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, 'And he was numbered with the transgressors.'" Comprehend tonight that Jesus was broken The bread that you and I comprehend tonight, the little loaf, that little bitty wafer that you and I take, Jesus took it and said, my body is going to be broken. May I remind us tonight, Jesus was tortured. Jesus was tortured in such a gruesome way that I truly believe that you and I sitting here could not have stomached even seeing him when he was done. The 39 lashes that he received on his body. The crown of thorns that was created and pushed into his brow. His beaten face over and over while blindfolded, buffeted over and over again. Tell us who hit you. The beard that was plucked from his face. His arms stretched out on an old rugged cross. And those nails, at once over and over again, were hammered in. The pain that went through his body as he gasped for air on that tree. I say this evening, he was broken. Isaiah said, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. He did all this for you. And he did it for me. It's a remembrance that you and I should have been on that tree. But he took our place. When you and I stand before him one day, God will not see you and I as we are. But he's going to see God's only begotten Son, his redemptive blood that washed you and I and cleansed us. And you and I will stand before him one day, not guilty, because of the bread, our Savior's body that was broken. Paul said, I want you to remember the bread, but he said, after the same manner also he took the cup. Talking about Jesus, and he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as ye drink in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. The precious blood of Jesus was all that it took. Isn't it amazing that that's it? His blood was shed for you and for me, and that is all it took. John chapter 1 and verse number 29. The next day, John seeth the Lamb coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7. But if he walk as the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. This blood, it was shed to save us. This blood, it was shed to cover our sins. This blood was shed, check it out, for everyone. Everybody. The worst of the worst that you and I think of in our society, God shed his blood for that person. His blood was shed for you and for me. When we take this juice tonight, and when we drink it, may I say this, friend, this juice is remembering. This juice is remembering the life that he gave. It is remembering the blood that was shed on that tree, the stripes that he took, the crown of thorns. Yes, his body was broken, but why was it broken? It was broken so that the blood from the perfect lamb could be shed, and it was shed to cover a multitude of sins in your life and in my life. And friend, may I put it this way, when Jesus Christ cried out and when he took his last breath, he cried out, it is finished. And it's still finished today. Paul steps in and begins to give this rebuke. May I put it this way tonight, church family, we're not going to argue over the Lord's Supper. Paul stepped in and began to say, look, this is not about us. We can sit here and we can fight and argue. Well, should we be passing out this way? Should we hand out this way? Should the deacons be praying? Should they not be praying? Should they be? And I haven't heard any of this. I'm just giving an illustration. I mean, come on, Pastor. These little things that we're doing because of COVID. I know we're trying to be sanitary, but all this bread is so nasty. And how old is this juice? Can I put it this way? It's not about you and I. It's not about how good it tastes. It's not about our way or their way. That's why Paul stepped in and said, enough is enough. It's not about us. It's all about him. We take this tonight. May you and I recall exactly what our Savior did. May you and I recall his body, friend, his blood, the remembrance. But Paul continues that also there's ramifications. You see, in verse number 27, he said this, wherefore, now watch very carefully, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Verse number 29 says, for he that eateth and drinketh, watch now what you and I are about to do. Are you tuned in? For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. It's a very serious moment, my friend. Verse number 27, Paul demands that anyone partake of the Lord's Supper, it to be in a fit moral or spiritual condition, that if they partake in the supper in an unworthy manner, is a reference to the conditions described in verse number 21, and it's very serious. One who consumes the supper in a spirit of fakeness or in greed or flesh contradicts the purpose of Christ's self-offering and shares the meal in an unworthy manner. An unworthy manner would be someone who is not saved. They've never come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They should not partake in this. Someone who is not right with God, that has something in their heart that they're hiding. They're not right in the Holy Spirit. There's something in there that they have not confessed. They should not take of the Lord's Supper this evening. Because if a person takes and they're not saved, or if a person takes unworthily, there's something in there, and it's a sin problem. Because this, the Bible says, there are those that, check it out now, their health is stricken. God is the great physician, friend. You and I have to understand, he can do this. But the Bible goes as far as to say that others sleep. Sleep in the New Testament is just a phrase describing the death of a Christian. They die. This afternoon, I went to the Lord in prayer and began to pray about this message. And I was getting ready this evening, and my wife came in. I said, "Man, Karen, I'm so nervous about this message. I preached it before. I've conducted Lord's Supper many, many times." And Carrie knew. She said, "Yeah, I remember the first time we did it at Cross Point. You were so nervous." And man, I was so nervous. And I'm nervous for the partaking. I'm nervous that I won't deliver what God wants me to deliver. There would be someone that would take this in an irreverent way, and they hurt themselves in the cause of Christ. We must understand that this is serious. I often think that after preaching the first part of this message, to be honest with you, who's going to partake? I mean, wouldn't it be easy at this moment just to say, I don't want to get sick. There's this thing called COVID going around. No, thank you. Death? That's all right. I'll just skip out, Pastor. That's okay. Just mark me off. I'm not going to grab one. I'll pretend like I grab one, but I'm not going to partake, you know. I mean, why even play around? The awesome thing about this whole, what you and I partake in tonight, is there's an examination that takes place. You see, Paul continues and says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For if we judge ourselves, we shall not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. That psalm that we read just 2 weeks ago says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me in my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way, and lead me in the way of everlasting. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Watch that. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The amazing thing about this is that we don't have to sit back and say, oh my goodness, somebody might get sick. And whoa, my word, what if there is something there and I don't know? And what if I don't want to die, so what do I do? Well, here's what Paul said. Let every man examine himself. That means this, during this invitation, we get a time to say, God, what is it in my life? Lord, what do I need to confess? He'll bring it to our thought. He'll bring it to our mind. God, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. Lord, let forgive me of this sin. God, I'm sorry for partaking or doing or the bitterness or the pride. Or God, tonight, I give it to you. Lord, forgive me. And guess what he does? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This really is one of the greatest services we can have at Crosspoint. Because it is a moment in this very room of whatever 250 here tonight that we get to walk out those back doors clean, right with God. It's one of my favorite services because as we come in tonight, we get to take a moment and talk to him. It's a moment, friend, that I would say, get alone with God. And Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. As God brings something to remembrance, Lord, forgive me, wash me in your blood. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Tonight, friend, is not a night that you would step aside and say, I'm just not going to partake because I don't want to take a chance. No, take a chance tonight to comprehend. The Bible is always right. Let God be true and every man a liar. If we confess tonight, he says this, my blood which I shed, it washes away your sin. The Bible says as far as east is from the west, he remembers it no more. Friend, I'm going to ask us tonight, are we ready to remember what God did for us? His body was broken for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. His blood, as we drink, his blood, was shed for us. God, thank you. Lord, thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you. And just before we get there, as Paul stepped in and set the record straight, we're going to take some time tonight. Let's gather around this altar this evening. Let's kneel right where we sit. Friend, I'm going to ask us, who cares what everybody else is doing? Let's not be embarrassed. He wasn't embarrassed when he got on a tree and gave his life for you and for me. Let's get down tonight. Let's do business with God. And let's examine ourselves.